To a series on essential Christianity. Some of the things that God just spoke, several things one day when I was asking him about what the body of Christ needed right now, and it was several things about being essential Christianity, the real root thing. Some of them, and last week we talked about you got to be saved. I mean, how basic is that? But we kind of took and looked at a little different angle on it, and today we're going to talk about faith. Okay, because of course faith has a lot to do with Christianity. Probably you could say 100% of Christianity is based on faith. So we're going to take a deep look at that, and we'll keep pressing in next week to some more things with it as well. But let's start with some prayer this morning. God, we are praising you by faith, Lord. We do trust you. Father, we yield ourselves to you. We open ourselves up to the kingdom of God, to your kingdom, to let you do what you want to do in our life, Lord. We have seen, heard, and believed what you have done up to this point, and we have put ourselves out there. We believed, we received that eternal life, Lord, willingly saying, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and going forward with you now, Lord, we pray that you'll help us with our faith. Help build us up and teach us something today that maybe we hadn't known about faith. Teach us something that will help us to press deeper into you, to go beyond where we're at currently in our faith, to make it a new level, a greater height with you, Father. As we press into you, I pray this. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So you could say that when it comes to Christianity and faith, without a doubt, Christianity is rooted in faith. I mean, 100%. That's where we believe in a God that most of us have never seen with our physical eyes. Okay, but we know beyond, I'll say at least a reasonable doubt, and I'll explain that, but we believe at least beyond a reasonable doubt that God is real. He is as real as our own mother and father. Okay, that's how real he is to me. To me, that's without a shadow of a doubt. Do I know that I have a mother and father? Yes, I do. And so I can say that I believe in God. I have faith in God to that extent. And that's really where the Christian life takes us as we begin to learn about God, the things of God. I remember somebody sharing with me about God, and I knew a little bit just from growing up and going to a church service and having understood a little bit. But somebody started sharing some real truths with me about Jesus and what it really meant to have a relationship with him. And so instead of praying to a God in outer space, pretty soon I asked this outer space God to come in here. Okay, and then it's no longer praying to a God out there. It's praying from within. And he is in me now. We're living and going through life together. And things changed at that moment. Well, there's a pretty good verse in the Bible. It probably gets coined as the one-line definition verse of the word faith. Okay, and that's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says simply, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, faith, in other words, is an unwavering confidence. Okay, if you look up that word substance, the word confidence is listed in those words in a Strong's Concordance. It has to do with being confident in the hope or what you're hoping for. So I wrote it as faith is the unwavering confidence in the things that you hope for, and the definitive evidence of that which you have not seen with anything but your eyes of faith. Okay, it is an unwavering confidence in the things that you hope for, the definitive evidence of that which you have not seen with anything else but your eyes of faith. You know, Jesus talked about things that should encourage us in our faith. We sang a beautiful song this morning about the miracles of God. Just awesome. Just touched my heart when I heard that a few weeks ago. And Margie was looking for songs, and I said, Margie, I want this song. Let's just listen to this. And we started listening to it. We started singing along. We're back here in the back of the church. And by the time we got halfway through the song, we're like, this is it. Look at what God is doing in our hearts through this song. I know that he will build faith in other people's hearts as well. Well, Jesus encouraged us with a conversation that he had with a man that brought a child to him that needed healing. Okay, and in that conversation in Mark 9:23, it tells us that Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Okay, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Okay, now the definition of that word in the Greek there for believe, and then it's the second time believeth. Okay, that word includes that definition includes the word commit. Okay, in other words, Jesus was saying, if thou wilt fully commit yourself to receiving what you're asking, then all things are possible to him that commits. Okay, now, if you haven't figured out, Christianity, by faith, takes a commitment. Okay, it is a stepping across a line. I'm committed. I'm all in. I'm saying my life belongs to Jesus. He's the only way to heaven, and I have determined that. I yield myself to that plan, and I'm in. Okay, that's a commitment. The commitment goes further when you think about our faith in the impossible or the now possible, because all things are possible to him that commits. Okay, so Jesus is talking about making a commitment with what you believe. Okay, to step in by faith and committing yourself to what you believe. Okay, now faith is, in essence, the removal of doubt. Okay, in other words, if that man that Jesus was speaking to in this conversation, there was some doubts that needed to be removed for him when Jesus said this, because he had brought his son, who was grievously vexed with healing that needed to happen, okay, with some things that needed to happen, okay, he had a tremendous amount of doubt that was stirred up in his heart, because he had previously taken his son to the disciples of Jesus, and they did not, or you might say could not, heal his son because of their own doubts. Okay, and Jesus got to after him at different times. If you know your Bible, Jesus said, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, or how long do I got to keep telling you this stuff? These things are possible to you now. Okay, Jesus kind of, in many places, he said that about that. Well, this man that brought his son to Jesus had some doubt in his heart. He had prayed, he had taken him to the disciples, and nothing had happened. Ever been there? Many, many times I've been there. I'm like, God, I know I prayed about this. Why isn't it happening? Okay, well, Jesus tells the man the truth. He says, if you will believe, if you will commit yourself to believing, all things are possible. Okay, and that word all means all. It means all things are possible. Okay, when Jesus said that to him, listen to the man's response, Mark 9:24. Straightway, or right away, the father of the child cries out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, Lord, I'm committed to you being the solution to the problem. I've worked my way up the chain of command here. I'm all the way to you. You are the solution to my problem. So let's eliminate all doubt from my mind, and let's do this. Okay, he was all in at that moment. Jesus was that solution. And so he said, all things, let's get all things out of my mind that are not of you. Anything that is of a doubting mind, anything that would be hindering this or holding it back, let's get that out and let's do this. He was ready for his son to be healed. Now, I think we often try to convince ourselves that we just need to believe more. Okay? I've done it. I've said it. I've been there. I just need to believe more. But oftentimes, it's more of a matter of needing to get the doubt out. Okay, getting rid of the stuff that is holding you back. Okay, if you remember that time Jesus told a bunch of people that were full of doubt and unbelief to get out of the room so that he could pray for a young lady that needed to be healed. And he tells them to get out of the room, keeps a couple of faith-filled brothers with them, prays for the girl, and she's healed. Okay, but he had to put the doubt out. They were already convinced that she was dead, this is not going to happen. They laughed at him, whatever. He says, you guys just go on out there for a little bit. And he removed the doubt. Okay, that's an example of putting out the doubt. Okay, he put them out so that that miracle could then take place. That's how all things become possible, by putting the doubt out. Okay, there's nothing that is impossible for God. We have that mentality. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know I tend to be kind of an information gatherer when it comes to making decisions. I like to do research on stuff and, you know, even things of God. Sometimes I'll go to, you know, things, a pastor or the internet, or I might invite conversation with somebody. And sometimes what I have found is that all this input that I get, whether it's online or it's other people, or if it's any other source than God, oftentimes it just brings more doubt into the picture. It gives me all the reasons why this might not happen. Okay, somebody will say, oh yeah, that's true, but this, this, and this, and they'll start to talk you out of it, even though they're trying to encourage you to stand strong in faith, brother, but at the same time, they're saying, stand strong in faith, but, you know, if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world, okay? Or, you know, we want this to happen, but, you know, if it doesn't, you'll be okay. I'll pray for you to have peace with it, you know, or we negate it right away, okay? And I think that brings some doubt into the picture. Sometimes we just have to know that God is God and God loves me, and that's enough. Okay, God is God and God loves me, and that's enough. That's all I need to know. And then we go to God and we ask. Okay, without all the extra information, with all this, you know, input from some that might have faith, some that sort of have faith, some that bring doubt into the picture. Rather than get all this other information, we just go to God and say, God, you're God and I know you love me. Boom. I'm laying it out before you. I'm asking you. I'm putting it out by you. Listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 11. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, everybody say comes to God.
Comes to God.
Okay, there's a key there. For everybody that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, faith is powerfully pleasing to God. Okay, everybody agree with that? Faith is necessary, faith is essential, and faith, according to this verse, is powerfully impressive to God. It is pleasing to him. It is something that he sees and that was part of the plan, that you believe on his son, okay, that we believe in his plan. And so when we believe, it is pleasing to him. So if you're seeking to please God, there's your answer. Okay, that's how you go about it. Without faith, it's impossible, but with faith, it is now possible. Okay, it says that you must believe that God is. Okay, you must believe that God is. Okay, and that's really what we talked about last week with essential Christianity. You're saved by faith, by believing that God sent his son Jesus, who lived and died, rose from the dead, and washed me clean of my sin, and that now I can go be with a holy God because Jesus made me that way. Okay, that's faith. We believe that. And that is believing that God is, and that God had a plan, and that I now believe on God's plan. Okay, so we believe that God is. Okay, your faith is pleasing to God. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11 that we're talking about here, this is 11:6, but if you know that chapter, it's often referred to as the Hall of Faith. Okay, because it has numerous testimonies of men and women of God that by faith took an action at a critical moment in their life that God recognized as them declaring they believed in him. Okay, and that was that act of faith saying, I believe, and I'm stepping forth. So they made this hall of fame, this list here, this hall of faith, okay, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Towards the beginning of those testimonies is where this verse is. Okay, this is what leads up to then. It goes through and talks about, you know, Noah did this and Sarah did this and all these things. It just starts going through and listing them out. Okay, but it starts with this verse. Okay, people believed wholeheartedly in God and they committed their actions to God. Okay, Hebrews 11:6 again, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, why do we seek God? Why don't we just get saved and go about life? Why do we go to church? Why do we read a Bible? Why do I listen to worship music? Why do we partake of things of God? Because God is, and I believe that God is, a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, it's not a, you know, I don't know how to put that. I don't want to make it a work. It's not a performance thing. But I know that seeking God is going to be good for me, right? It's going to be rewarding to me because of verses like this. Not only does this verse tell us that faith is pleasing to God, but then it tells us what that faith should look like. Okay, it involves coming to God. It involves trusting that He is who He says He is, and believing that He is a rewarder of those that seek, pursue, and acknowledge Him in all their ways. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lord in His path. Okay. Jesus addressed this very notion of not just believing in Him, but actually acting out your faith in Him. Jesus addressed it pretty straightforwardly. Okay, He spoke of a people that knew about God, maybe had even called on God at one point, but they were not truly pursuing God any longer. Okay, they were, in other words, using God to their advantage, but they were not pursuing Him in order that they might know and do His will. Okay, there's one thing to be a Christian. This is deep faith stuff here. It's one thing to be a Christian and to live every day and try to do the right things and be a good person and all that. It's another thing to live your life to fulfill His plan and His purpose for your life. That's real faith. Okay, that is that rewarded faith. Because now I'm not just living for me. Now my life is about Him and doing His will. And as I live life, God says, there He is. He's doing it again. She's doing it again right now. Bumping Jesus in the rib saying, look at what she's doing right now. Okay, that's God saying, there's a reward in that. Look at, they're acting by faith. They're doing something right now that I wanted them to do. Okay, now in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, there's a little passage here that it's got some pretty deep things in it from Jesus. Okay, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, not everyone that says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of My Father, which is in heaven. In other words, those are the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom, all the good stuff. Many will say to Me, He says, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name we have cast out devils. And in Thy name done many wonderful works. And when then Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. That verse puzzles me, right? It did. How can they be crying out to Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these great things in Your name. I mean, I've prophesied. I've cast out demons. I've done wonderful things in the name of Jesus before. Am I in that category? Until He added that little curse, that, I don't know if precursor is the right word, but until He added that little saying in there that said, the thing about doing it in the will of My Father, okay, He says, not everyone that says unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of My Father, which is in heaven. Okay, these guys knew about God that Jesus is talking about, but they saw no real reward in seeking God and seeking God's will on a daily basis. Okay, they may have called on God at one point, but now they're just living life, going through the motions, maybe even doing a few good things and whatever, but they're not seeking God anymore. They knew God well enough to use His name for their gain. Okay, they knew Him well enough that God's name had some power to it, but they were not chasing God anymore. They were not pursuing, what does God want me to do in this situation anymore? They knew enough to get by, but they had lost sight of God's eternal omnipotence, His glory, His power. God's greatness and power and splendor is unlimited by anything except the human mind. Okay, God wants fantastic things for your life. I believe that. But too often we shut Him off and tune Him out. We start going through our life apart from God. These guys that Jesus spoke of here knew the correct password. It was Lord, right? They were saying, Lord, Lord. A lot of Bibles, different versions, they'll say the word master. They were calling Him master. I mean, He's the biggest shot. They knew that, right? They knew that that was the buzzword. Okay, they thought that was the password. But Jesus says, just calling me Lord, Lord isn't going to get you anywhere with me. Okay, what is required is some serious obedience doing the will of my Father. Okay, following the ways of God. What does God want you to do? Even John in his writing said at one point, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. In other words, when we ask things that line up with God's will, He hears us, responds, and it happens. Okay? It's about knowing God's will in order to ask. Knowing and asking God, according to God's will, is the key to that passage I just quoted. In these verses here in Matthew, Jesus implies that He can kind of see it now. He's implying that He can see what the end day is going to look like. That final judgment, He's figuring thousands of people are going to come strutting up to Him, saying, Master, we preached the message. Lord, we bashed on the demons. Lord, our God-sponsored projects have everybody talking. But Jesus is going to respond to them, sorry guys, you missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. All you did was use me to serve yourself. You didn't impress me one bit with that. And Jesus, in the end of that, says, depart from me. In other words, you're out of here. That's pretty serious stuff. You know, I listened to a podcast this past week where they interviewed the leader of an organization that had studied and interviewed over 10,000 young people between the ages of 15, I think it was 13 and 25. They wanted to see where they were in their walk of faith. How was their faith walk with God going? And one of the most prevalent themes of that conversation, it was like a 40-minute podcast, one of the most prevalent themes that kind of kept coming up and kind of emanated out was the fact that young people are decreasingly interested in religious institutions. Look around you. This is it. And yet they are increasingly interested in religiosity and spirituality. Okay, what that means is that they are hungry for the things of God, but they are willingly neglecting the one place where they know that they could go and be fed. I'm so hungry, I'm starving. And they're sitting out in the parking lot of McDonald's. Right? They're not even, they won't go in. Okay? Even though God said, don't forsake, you know, the assembling of yourselves together, that this is the house of God. God's Spirit is powerful in these environments. I think Margie read something out of a book yesterday, with the ladies' tea about the church and what God's purpose for protection, right? And what? The refuge that the body of Christ makes as the church. Okay, so it's like being hungry for the things of God, but not wanting to do the things that God wants you to do to fulfill that hunger, okay, which is spending time with Him. Okay, you must actively pursue God. Let me back that up. The reason I brought that up about the young people okay, is because it's a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. It is having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It is believing in God but not wanting to do things God's way. It is saying, yes, I'm a believer, but I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. It is all those things put into one conversation. That's what I was gathering out of that podcast. You must actively pursue God. Okay, he that cometh to God. You must actively pursue God according to his will in order to maintain that essential element of faith that pleases God. It is the coming to God. It is the action that goes with your faith. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, God speaking, and he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Hey, that phrase in verse 12 there says, "You shall go and pray unto me." And that implies some action involved on your part. You have to get yourself out of bed. You got to get your backside up off the couch, and you go and you seek God. You pursue him. You go to where God's people are. You go to where you're going to hear and learn and grow. Okay, now I want to look at one last passage as we wrap this up this morning. It's in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. It's a conversation that, again, Jesus is trying to make a serious point here. He says unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.' And Jesus says, 'I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet he will, because of his importunity, because of that, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.'" Now, Jesus describes a friend showing up in the middle of the night, midnight, right? I'm in bed usually at midnight. It's an inopportune time. It's not a good time for anybody, right? I'm sure the guy was up late, going, "I got a friend here. I don't know how I'm going to feed him. What am I going to do? I know, I'll go see Mary. You know, I'll go see John, I'll go see somebody and they'll help me." And so it was an inopportune time for him and the guy that he was asking. Okay, what that does is it stressed the importance of the request that the man was about to make. It wasn't just a casual, you know, "Hey, see you on the street. Hey man, I got a friend coming in a couple weeks. You think you could give me a loaf of bread?" It wasn't a casual conversation. It was intentional. It was purposeful. "I'm going in the middle of the night to wake my friend up to see if he'll give me some bread." Okay, it was a purposeful request that he was making. Okay, and he doesn't just go and ask for a cup of sugar, okay, or something. I don't know if they had sugar back then. Maybe that's not a good example. But he doesn't just go and ask for something that was readily available. 3 loaves of bread or more for somebody, they didn't have ways to keep stuff, you know, they didn't have plastic bags with zip ties or whatever. It probably was more likely that they wouldn't have that ready to go at that moment. Okay, the man was asking for something that was going to take some effort for that friend to provide. Okay, Jesus says that the man received what he asked for, not just because the guy was his friend, but because of his importunity. Okay, that word importunity literally means persistence, boldness, and shamelessness. Okay, in other words, he was willing to ask. That's why he got it. He was willing to ask in the middle of the night, "Hey, I need some help here," and he went and asked, and he got it because of that. Not because it was a friend, but because he was willing to ask. Okay, he pushed all the doubts out of his mind. He pushed all the negative thoughts. He pushed all the excuses out of his mind of why he shouldn't go wake his friend up in the middle of the night. He pushed all that out of his mind, got rid of all the doubt, and said, "I just got to ask." And he went and he asked, and he received because of that. That describes faith. Okay? It's when you push out all the doubt. You get all the stuff out that says, oh, you probably shouldn't. Oh, that's not a good time. Oh, they're sleeping. You know, they don't have that. They don't want to come. Whatever it is. And you push all those thoughts out of your mind and you just ask. Okay, that's faith. That is saying, I'm getting rid of anything that is not of God, and I'm going to take that step of faith and make this ask. That is faith. You know, pursuing God, pursuing His ways, His will, His plans, that is essential Christianity. Okay, that is essential to your walk as a Christian. It sometimes takes a humbling of yourself. Because you're saying that, God, your ways are higher than my ways, and I want to take the high road. Okay, I don't want to go through the muck anymore. Okay, and if you get to that point, you'll start asking God a little more often, God, I need your help here. And we start turning to Him every day for little things in our life. And every time that we do that, we push everything out of the way and say, God, I'm going to You with this one. And then don't try to solve it all these other ways. Keep it on Him. That's maintaining your faith. Okay, to live with a constant pursuit of God is likened to living with unwavering faithfulness. Okay, you hear that word thrown around, being faithful or faithfulness. Okay, that's what it means to constantly be pursuing God in your life. Since faith is pleasing to God, and we want to be pleasing to Him, that's our life's goal, then living, walking, and acting in faith continuously is going to yield this wonderfully powerful relationship with our Savior. It's walking by faith. It is constantly saying, I'm going to Him with everything. I'm not just over here going through life. I'm just talking to Him about everything I'm doing in life. Okay, keeping Him involved. You know, the very next verse after this, after Jesus indicates to us that we should just shamelessly pursue God, you know what He says? You've quoted it. Luke 11:9, Jesus says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asks, receives. And everyone that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Importunity. Be willing to ask God. Okay, that's walking by faith. That's essential Christianity. Amen. Father, we're praising You this morning. I know that Your word speaks life, Father. I pray that the encouragement is there for each one of our hearts and minds, Lord, that we push out the doubt, that we get rid of the stuff, the excuses, we get rid of the negative thoughts, we get rid of the I'm not good enough or the unworthy. We get rid of all that stuff and we just pursue You. I pray that as we go through every single day, that we will take moments, moment by moment, minute by minute if needed, and constantly pursue You. What do You want in this situation? How do You want to handle what's happening right now? How should I respond to what just happened to me? And that we're pursuing You, Father. We're asking You and going through life every day, pursuing You by faith, trusting in You. We may never see You with our eyes till we see You in heaven, Father, but we can believe right here, right now, by taking steps of faith, believing that we're corresponding, we're connecting with You, we're staying in tune with You, and we're just going forward with life in that manner. Father, we trust You this morning. Thank You for increasing our faith. Thank You for building us in our most holy faith, Father. Building us up that we may walk in the ways that You want us to walk in. May we never lose sight of You, Lord. May we never just go through life on our own thinking, well, I'll just figure this out. May we always turn to You, Father, and rely on You, depend on You, and trust You. Father, we praise You for these things. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.